Hello and welcome to GM Talk Episode 3 with Andrew McCluskey, Grayson Wright, Jack Broccoli, Joshua Pedroza and myself, Philip Gamble. The first topic we're going to start discussing today are the results recently announced from Yo-Yo Games' fifth handheld game competition. The winning games were They Need to Be Fed by TD Cubed, Nimbus Sky Princess and Ninjamin Beat Jitsu. There's quite a bit of criticism I saw on the Yo-Yo Games blog posted about them. I wasn't really sure if you thought that was justified criticism of the choices or if it was just childish behaviour by people who thought their game should have won and didn't.
Well, I think some people have a point when they're sort of talking about 2D Cube's game not being the best in terms of sort of depth of play. But it is a fairly addictive game and I know it would be perfect for handheld consoles.
Out of the three winning games, They Need to Be Fed was the only one that I really thought this is a really great game and I can see why it won. I have been playing it since it was announced and gone back to it and played it again. And
initially I didn't really like it, but then 5 minutes after I quit playing it, I wanted to go and play it again. So I knew that I was sort of getting a bit hooked into it.
Yeah, and as you said, I could easily imagine playing that game on a handheld device.
Because the levels are fairly short and you can just sort of save whenever needed, quit, then come back to it another time.
What did you think of the game, Josh?
They Need to Be Fed, at first I also thought it was unoriginal, a bit dumb, but kind of like Andrew, about 5 minutes in, I started getting kind of hooked, and I just kept coming back for a little bit more, and then, oh, this is stupid, let me come back in 5 minutes, then 5 minutes later, come play a little bit more, kind of like that. I must say it is addicting. I'd like to see it on a mobile console soon.
I like the fact that as you played through each world, you've got new obstacles to overcome, and I thought that was quite a good thing to do, rather than introduce everything at the beginning. Keep the game fresh, new things introduced throughout the game, so you have to keep on your toes.
And I did also like how they sort of, in the levels, then sort of the older obstacles would come back, and you'd have to keep dodging them all at once.
Right.
When I say like, I mean that caused quite a lot of frustration, but it was good, it was fun.
Yes, but it can be very frustrating when you're trying to think ahead and then something comes and kills you where you're standing where you are.
That might be a slight problem with portable gaming, actually. I hadn't really thought of that before, but it's a fairly difficult game when you get to the later levels, and it'd be kind of annoying to play on a train because you'd start speaking in front of all these people and jolts.
Yeah, the jolting wouldn't really work very well on a train or on the device. But I think it is a very good game. I think it is a deserved winner.
Yeah, and you could play it on, like, Car Journeys just fine.
Any thoughts, Jack or Grayson?
Yeah, I thought the best thing about They Need to Be Fed was the presentation and the smooth graphics. They instantly appealed to me, really. They look professional on a PSP.
I thought you people hated They Need to Be Fed.
I thought, Josh, I thought you were a bit unhappy about They Need to Be Fed because it had a full screen option.
Well, I was just a little surprised because I saw quite a few games get disqualified because of the fact that they allowed an option for full screen. Because I had talked to Sandy the first few days of the competition asking about that. He said that if it has an option, period, it's automatically out. So I was a little bit surprised that they picked that one to win.
But do you know that any games got disqualified for any reason?
I can't think of any games that they formally came out and disqualified, but
as a moderator, I know that there were quite a few that were disqualified, and they were most of them that were disqualified, as far as I'm aware, were done because their creators were downrating other games. Which, it wasn't really a matter, because their games were crap anyway, but
I don't really understand the downrating on competition entries, because they all get played anyway, and when Yo-Yo Games decide, so I don't really think
that. They have now recently added in the sort of rules and the regulations and that they do take popularity in a sort of account, which I guess might be why They Need to Be Fed got first place, because it did have the most plays by quite a long way.
That's quite interesting. So it had more plays than any other game before it was announced as the winner.
Yeah. It overtook the previous leader, which was Extinction 3D, I believe, by Sakasar. And, it was on over 2,000 in just under a month.
I think that's simply because 2D Cube is a popular user and he's got plenty of featured games on Yo-Yo Games.
I was also wondering that. How much does previous game popularity have to do with getting, like, how much does previous game success have to do with your success in the competition?
I don't think any, really, because the second and third place games, they were both the first game uploaded to Yo-Yo Games by their creators, so I don't think there's any relation there at all, really, except if you have a if you've made a series of popular games in the past, you're likely to get more people to play it, but I don't think that would affect the judges, really.
If you've made a good game before, you're likely to make another good game.
That's true, but all the games will get judged, so I don't
Yeah. think... Yeah, I agree with you, Phil.
See, quite a few people are coming into the competitions having developed using other languages or for other platforms, and then have come in and entered games and done well in the competitions, and then there's also the people who've stayed in the community the whole time.
Andrew, can you name any specific games that were really good but got disqualified?
No, because there were none that were specifically very good that got disqualified. Anyone that can make a decent enough game to sort of be worthy of a mention has the sort of etiquette, the fairness, not to get themselves disqualified in the first place. They'll read the rules and they won't be a twat and downrate everyone else.
So, what did people think of the second and third place games?
I thought the Beatman...
Ninja Man
Beat Jitsu.
No, Ninjaman.
You gotta get it right.
It's Ninjaman. It's Ninja and Jamin.
Ninjaman. I thought that Ninjaman Beat Jitsu was very nicely well done. I don't really like rap music, but the introduction, I was rolling on the floor.
Yeah, I did think the introduction was very good. It obviously had quite a bit of thought gone into that.
It was the best part.
The menu was good. The game was okay, although like I pointed out a couple of days ago, it slightly reminded me of a couple of other games.
Oh, like Wobbly.
Yeah, the original Wobbly game by 2D Cube.
I think one of my problems, but this is just purely from a sort of stickler in design kind of thing, I noticed that the HUD in the game uses Arial as a font, and it's just plain white. And I just thought that, considering how good the other graphics look in-game, it didn't work.
How hard did you find the game to play? Because I found it pretty hard to get the coordination right, and I've heard from a few other people that said they also found it quite hard, because I thought at first maybe I just wasn't getting the hang of it, but I've heard quite a few people say that it was quite hard.
After getting into it, I was alright with it, but I have played quite a lot of rhythm games. I mean, I'm not a Guitar Hero fan, don't get me wrong, but I love Frequency and I love Amplitude, two games which nobody's ever heard of. No, they're two games for the PlayStation 2, which they think they probably sold about 100 copies. They're actually made by Harmonix, the same people that did the original two Guitar Heroes and then Rock Band. But they're sort of like precursors, and they're very, very good. And another one I liked, which I'm sure nobody's heard of again, is Guitaru Man.
Nope.
There was a PSP port of that, but it's a sort of very Japanese game, and it's another one that's fairly rare. Yeah, they're all good stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that any of the three games were particularly bad. I don't know.
They left some things to be desired. I mean, since Yo-Yo Games are going to be polishing the sort of games for PSP release, it's a good thing because the games have a lot of potential and could be brilliant.
So how do you think They Need to Be Fed could be polished? I thought it was pretty polished already.
Well, I think it could sort of... I think some of the longevity could be sort of increased. There could maybe be a little more variety in it, because I know they do introduce new obstacles as you get through stages, but there aren't that many of them. And I'm sure that there could be at least a few other kind of obstacles they could come up with that would work. I don't know why I keep saying they. It's one guy. But no, I think that sort of there could be some improvements made to They Need to Be Fed. I mean, how about a level? Something like that. Since there's a set number of obstacles, it could be quite easy to make a level editor for it.
I do like level editors. I think they certainly add replayability to the game.
Yeah, and with something like They Need to Be Fed, you could imagine it being really simple to make one. And simple to use as well, because it's just planting a few different shaped planets and then a couple of obstacles.
Right, but then how do you transfer levels, like, onto a PSP?
Well, could do it Karoshi style. Make it a sort of code. I mean,
true.
Because it's simple... you could probably just have it really grid-based and turn the entire level into just sort of 8 or 9 characters. And then they could even share it on Yo-Yo Games.
If Yo-Yo Games ever comes up with a level editor sharing system.
Well, yeah, but that'd be sort of something they could implement if they wanted to in future.
Or you could try to have, like, a in-game system that connects to a server somehow, but you're not allowed to use DLLs, so you're asking for slowness.
Not if you only need to send a text file, surely.
Yeah. People keep fussing about how slow Game Maker's multiplayer is. I've never really done much multiplayer business, so I can't say for sure.
I suppose another way would be for because PSP uses, what is it, memory sticks to save things. So perhaps you could save levels to the memory stick and then use a converter, or if you've got a memory card reader in your PC, you could transfer it to that and then upload it to a website or something.
True. Not a bad idea.
But it's just something that sort of has to sort of brainstormed and find the best solution.
Right.
Because I think a level editor would certainly benefit the game.
How about the other competition winner, which was Nimbus Sky Princess? It's a scrolling shooter game with a very small screen, smaller than PSP size.
Yes. I ran it. It looked like an 8-bit Game Boy game from like 5 years ago. It was so small, I could not read the text in the introduction. I was like, my face 1 inch from the screen, staring at it. I finally quit after a minute or two of playing. It didn't make much sense to me.
I never read the introductions anyway, I would just skip straight to even get to the game without working out what I meant to do. I only played the first level. I thought it made quite effective use of the limited key options, because you had single key presses, double taps, and if you hold down the key, it offered you different moves.
I think that's probably the sort of thing that would be altered for a PSP port, but just to make use of the other buttons.
Yeah, there's more than one action key. Are there any other entries in Competition 5 that people would like to discuss or give a mention to?
There are certain ones which I'm surprised didn't even make the sort of, what's it called? What do they call it? But no, I think Blackfoot is one of those, because it was amazingly polished graphically. It was fun to play, and it was fairly varied as well. And it had obviously taken a lot of work to make it.
I actually wanted to see your game on the honorable mentions now. I liked it because it was simple, easy to play, and it made very good use of the keys it was given. It's not one of those games that you feel like, oh, I'm limited to 3 keyboard keys, what am I going to do? It, like, perfectly matched it.
Well, I think the main problem with it was its graphicalness. It's a fairly simple, I'm not a graphical person, really, in terms of games, but...
Right, but you also don't want to have such fancy graphics that it crawls on a PSP.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you compare it to They Need to Be Fed, the graphics, even though the graphics of They Need to Be Fed are simple, they still look really polished, colourful, unlike Nitsu Shaper 4. Yo-Yo Games kind of probably didn't want such a boring-looking game.
Well, that's one of the main problems with it, really. What I should have done, I suppose, is added some customization to it. You know, to kind of alter the looks, because the only option was to have that kind of pseudo 3D thing going on. But no, it doesn't really matter too much. I'm happy with the attention it got. It got nearly 500 plays, so I was just in it to enter, really, because of the circumstances, meaning I can't enter them anymore.
It is one of the very few Game Maker games that I have kept going back to try and complete after I've started it and obviously not completed it.
That's one of the Natouche Par kind of traits. You can't complete it, it's too bloody difficult.
But you have completed all the levels.
I have completed all the levels, yeah. Just not at the same time, and I hate them. I hate them so badly. What about noting sort of egos of entrants? I noticed that a lot of entrants into Competition 5 had fairly sort of swollen egos. They seemed to big up their own games, they were expecting an honourable mention or even a place, and then when they didn't get either, they started sort of slagging off Yo-Yo Games, and particularly Jesse Vembrax's game. And frankly, most of the people that sort of suffered that were fairly bad entrants anyway. I think it's a problem with sort of indie games in general. It just happens to come out more in competitions.
I think the problem is also that it doesn't attract the most mature people in the world, does it? It's
no.
Young teenage boys and
yeah, who seem to be intent on winning $1,000, making a game with sort of pillar shaded graphics and
because clearly they're the best game makers ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the GMC topic I noticed there was a few people that had really rubbish games saying that they couldn't believe they won it.
Yeah.
They didn't win it.
I noticed there was one which I won't name, and I won't actually name this time, but no, the person got really angry, and it actually ended up on the Glog entry about the results, with Naked Paul Toast basically telling him his game stank, to which he shut up immediately and never commented again.
Yeah, I saw that, and I saw the comment by Naked Paul Toast, and went to see if I could find the game, but I couldn't find the game myself to play it, so I'm not sure if it was removed or if I just looked in the wrong place.
Probably sort of removed it crying.
Well, we also have to remember the tagging system on Yo-Yo Games is very difficult to work with, and you can never find stuff.
Quite I definitely simple. Think they need to include some sort of better option for entering a game, as opposed to just putting competition 05 or 06 or whatever. A little checkbox saying you're entering it. And then say you can't edit a game which is older to be in the competition, and the checkbox disappears after the competition deadline's finished.
Talking about not editing a game to put it in the competition later, I noticed that on the list of games that deserve a mention was Tower of Heaven. Now that... Yeah, but the game... That may be true, but the game was released in August 2009... And
well, I think the thing was that Yo-Yo Games didn't... They said that you couldn't sort of edit a game to be in the competition, but at the same time, they also said you could use previously used sort of engines and things. And the fact that Tower of Heaven's entry was actually a port because of the downsized screen and that, and probably the removal of services, I don't know. But I suppose that made it eligible.
I thought it went against the spirit of it, really.
Yeah.
Considering it was in the one of the four Game Maker games in the final 10 of the competition by 2B Games last year, so it's been around a few competitions and been around for a long time, so...
It was a douche move.
Well, they may as well have done it. I mean, what was there to lose?
It's a douche move. What was to lose their reputation? I now think they're idiots.
The Sky Glider one was kind of cool. I don't remember its name.
RC.
Oh, was it that RC plane thing?
Yeah.
I didn't play that, but from the video it looked boring.
RC Aerobatics.
It had 3D graphics.
It looked like a boring version of that Quidditch minigame in Harry Potter 1 on PlayStation. Just sort of going through hoops at a sort of snail's pace.
Yeah.
It was an alright game.
Jack, do you not want to talk about Cowboy Killer?
Yeah.
A good game spoiled by the twatishness of its creators, if I'm being completely honest. I just got bored of them saying they were going to win with it. And to be completely honest, when I saw that they hadn't placed or got on the runners-up, I just went... Gotcha.
I thought there was too much blood for it to place.
But it was a fun game, it had action and it was quite well presented, even though the retro-ish graphics might not have appealed to Yo-Yo Games.
Yeah, it was a fun game, there's no debating that, really.
It might have been a bit hard. I was very bad at it.
Yeah, I'm not good at that sort of game at all. But it was a good game, I'll give it that. And it did have good graphics, even though they weren't sort of mainstream-ish.
Greg Lobanov, one of the creators, says he isn't entering competition 06, and that's probably why.
Because he's in a half, basically. But no, just to clear it up, I do like them, both the creators.
So do you think it deserved to win or not?
I don't think it deserved to win, no. I was kind of surprised it didn't get a runners-up place, because it was good, and it was definitely sort of... There were games in the runners-up place that were nowhere near as good as it was.
they were expecting it to be on Indie Games blog as well, and it never got posted there.
Well, that's probably a punishment for them expecting it to get on it.
Yeah. Did it get on Bitejacker?
Yes, it did, I believe. I can't remember if it won or not. I think it did.
Yeah.
But then I've done that with a game I made in 3 days, so it's not really an achievement.
We didn't mention who the music was by.
Oh yeah. Jay Mickle still has my quote from GM Tech 2 talking about that in his signature and on Brain Gale.
What was the quote?
Something about the shock of it being a rap artist. Oh, here we go. I checked out the MySpace and he appears to be some kind of rap artist. What madness is this? What does the world come to? Quote from me. I don't actually remember saying it exactly like that, but it was pretty much identical.
I didn't hear any rapping when I played the game.
I think it might have suited it, actually. In a sort of bizarre kind of should-be misfit, but actually works in an odd way. But I kind of like music that should be a misfit. I do that quite a lot with my own stuff.
Anything else from anyone about Competition 5 or any of the entries?
I really liked Whipman Zero by The Mordius. This is a sequel, well, sort of had a nearly the same title as a game that I got a runner-up in a previous Yo-Yo Games competition. And it was like a traditional sort of platformer where these plants take over and you have to destroy them to unlock the door on each level and get through to the next one.
Oh yes, and I did play that.
And the whole game was like timed. It's quite hard to get to the last levels, but I still thought it was great platforming.
Thinking about the difficulty though, didn't Jumper 3 place in one of the last competitions? I mean, that basically sort of broke everything that everyone's been talking about for this one. I mean, it was difficult, it was pixel graphics. It was very pixel graphics.
Sky Princess was pixel graphics as well.
Should we talk about the competition now?
And how much we hate the 8 megabit limit?
Well, I don't. I think it's stupid that people are complaining about that.
Well, I think that, in my honest opinion, you should just make a competition version that has, like, small sprites, small backgrounds, tiny compressed music files, all that. Then just post a high-quality version on different gaming sites, not on Yo-Yo Games. Or
even just rename them and put it on Yo-Yo Games.
Right, and then just, and the higher quality have like bigger textures if it's a 3D game, a huge screen size, all the bells and whistles, that way you could have a nice high quality game for people on the computer and a regular quality for PSP users.
Yeah, but depending on how you do it, you can fit a brilliant, massive game into 8 megabytes with no problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
Right, but then when you full screen it on a 900p monitor, it doesn't look so great.
If people want to make PC games, just don't enter the Yo-Yo Game competition.
Yeah. I think it's slightly annoying that people think that because they use the website, they have a given right to decide how they run their own competitions.
Yeah. You're not ponying up the $1,750, so don't complain.
Yeah, you totally didn't just steal that line from them.
Yeah, I did, actually. I wanted to see who would get it.
So, just looking at the facts here, the theme is Discovery, deadline is the end of August, and it's the same prizes as Competition 5.
I think if I was going to enter it, I would want the background music to be, what's it called, Bad Touch, by, Bloodhound Gang. You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. See? Made the connection.
There might be some copyright issues there.
I don't care.
Oh, that's okay.
Anyone that plays it will automatically love it because of that song. But no, I think the sort of restrictions are fairer this time because of the addition of the extra buttons and that, which further mimics the sort of PSP layout.
Yeah, so I was quite confused for the Competition 5 why the buttons were so limited when obviously the PSP and any of the other consoles would have more buttons than just one action key.
Well, one theory would be that they were sort of initially planning to port it onto other things as well.
Right.
Because it wasn't a set resolution, it was a maximum that they gave. So you could always have been making something for a different sort of handheld or whatever instead.
But Competition 6 is clearly aimed at a PSP, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Well, they've got the number of buttons, they've got the fixed resolution this time, as opposed to a variable one. Well, they've now made it very clear that they're doing the PSP Game Maker, as opposed to when they initially released the fifth one that wasn't public.
Yeah, they've made the mind up.
Well, either that or they've made it public, and they've decided to just go full out with the sort of details.
At least this time they allow an option for a full screen, as long as the game doesn't start that way.
Well, I doubt the games are going to go straight on, aren't they? They're going to have to modify the games to set up the buttons and stuff anyway, so I think having options like that will be fine, and they can just take them out of the final.
Well, it's easy enough to remove them, and it's an advantage to PC players.
Exactly. I wonder if Yo-Yo Games is going to install a content recognition system, like YouTube.
How would they do that? To detect ripped graphics within the game? I don't think that could happen.
More like ripped soundtracks.
No, I don't think that could work, because...
Well, I mean, they have, like, the decompiled version of the game on their server somewhere. So they could technically run each MP3 file through a little scanner.
I can't imagine they've had problems with copyrighted content being posted on there. I mean, I know it's on there, but I wouldn't have imagined anyone would have complained about any of it.
The majority would be recognised if it was, like, a competition entry or something, and then it'd just get disqualified or asked to change. I think, it'd be far more reliable just to sort of go with human detection as opposed to some sort of machine which suddenly decides that something that's completely legal is actually the Super Mario Bros. 3 theme.
So, what are people's thoughts on the theme of the competition? I'm quite glad there is a theme this time as opposed to last time when it was quite general.
I think it's a good theme because it gives some people a direction to go in, but at the same time it allows for... It's a very wide thing. I mean, you could fit pretty much anything into it, but at the same time, it does generally spark some sort of idea.
Yeah, I don't think there's a problem with it being wide, because you can interpret any theme in any way. It's just giving people ideas.
I wonder how many entries there are already.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. Let's go and check that. Should we go and have a review of the entries that are there so far?
I don't think there's any entries worth
spontaneous reviewing.
Five. I found
seven.
No, I found seven, seven, sorry, yeah.
Seven.
Although,
that's
you said
weird.
76, or is it just a blank space?
Yeah, use me. Yeah, it's a blank for me as well. Yeah.
It's blank for me.
Well, we did know the numbering system was messed up, but this is taking messed up to a new level, I think, here.
Yeah.
One, it two, six. Three, four, five, gap,
seven.
Well, to their sort of credit, at least seven's in the right place.
This, of course, stems back to when Sandy said that there were over 500 entries into the last competition.
Here's a theory. Perhaps the sixth entry, which is blank, is actually 2D Cube's entry, which is nothing. But because, of course, everyone's biased, and he is, of course, the best, that's going to be the winner. The Discovery is actually trying to find the game in the first place. Of course, there isn't actually any Discovery, because you never find it. It's not there.
It's a nice take on the theme, yeah.
What I have noticed just now is that of the six that are there, three of them are in a 4x3 resolution, so they're automatically out. Only three of the games actually seem to be 480x272.
Do you think they just tagged any odd game with the tag to try and get people to play them?
Well, it looks like it. Oh, yeah, look. The first one, Bounce Elements, was created on the 30th of March.
Snow Wars doesn't even have the Competition 06 tag.
What?
That's Click it, it can tag.
No, it doesn't.
Nice. And it was created on the 11th. Darko's Adventure looks awful.
He might have put the tags in there and then removed them because someone's commented saying remove the tag.
Yeah, it's interesting to see that they've already got six entries. Four of which are already disqualified. And two of which... Well, the Otter Pond one is probably rubbish, but it does look fairly intriguing, but...
It was created in March.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry, screw that. That's five of the six, which are almost disqualified.
Yeah, it only has two stars anyway, so...
Which game?
Leaving one, which is the most horrible blue on green I've ever seen. That is disgusting.
If it enters the competition within the first week, you can pretty much guarantee it's not going to be very good.
if anyone enters within the first month, he can guarantee it's probably not going to get a place.
I remember Gordon Gnome Carnage was entered quite early. That's probably a...
It wasn't huge early, though. And, of course, that is Daniel Remar, so...
Mm. Yeah. I'd like to see EG on the PSP, but I doubt it could be handled.
I think if you you sort of compressed it enough, you sort of quartered the size of all the sprites and made it small, it might sort of... It might go on there with a bit of a struggle. And probably be rubbish, but...
See, you either have to sacrifice the quality and, like, scale everything down so small you can't see anything, or you have to sacrifice the view room, and then you can only see, like, her in the immediate surrounding area, and you have, like, no depth of field.
I can't really say much more about Competition 6, can we, because it's only just been launched.
Well, it's speculation at the moment. I presume that the sort of the outcome with the PSP games is going to be the same as before.
Will they ever hold a competition for computer games again, do you think?
I don't know, it depends. I get the feeling that they might sort of do an iPod one after this, because, well, the PSP runner took, what, 5 months? So there's about 5 months between competitions, so...
Of course, there's been quite a lot of discussion as to whether they would be able to get it onto iPod, or not.
Well, I think if they sort of, they made a specific deal with Steve Jobs, and
good luck.
They basically went, yeah, we hate Adobe too, then they'd be fine and safe.
So, I guess this follows on from competition talk, because obviously the winning games from the competition and some of the other best games, the other games are going to publish to the PSP. So we need to talk a bit about the process that these games would go through, which I think Andrew can say something about.
Okay, I've seen a lot of people talking about the PSP Game Maker, which is sort of... I know a lot of people think that it's going to be public, even though that's blatantly not. So, from what I've pieced together, from talking to Sandy, Mike and Russell, and from what has been publicly released and displayed in other broadcasts, which I won't name, the process is basically that they're going to take the games from PC, which are either competition entries that have won... runners-up, or are just generally exceptional in some way. And what they're going to do is they're going to ask the creators and sort of bring up some sort of deal with them to bring it to PSP or whichever console. PSP initially at first, obviously. And then they're going to have an in-house team, which consists of several people that port the game and make it better so it's commercial-worthy. And then Yo-Yo Games themselves will submit it to Sony and see if they can get it onto the PlayStation Network. And if not, how they can go about improving it.
As someone who doesn't have a PSP, how does a PlayStation Network work? Is it similar to the iPhone App Store?
Yeah, pretty much. It's just sort of a slightly different layout, which can be expected because it's different people, but you're pretty much spot on if you think about that.
And presumably, if someone was to download one of these games, they'd pay a price, and then Yo-Yo Games would take a proportion of that as the publisher.
It just depends on how the deal is reached, really. I suppose there'll be some sort of negotiation, depending on how much Yo-Yo Games want it, and how much the creator of the game wants from it as profit. But one thing I do know about the PlayStation Network, which isn't really related, is that whenever you buy something, you can download it 5 times. And it's not wrong to download it onto someone else's PSP or PS3.
They really allow that?
Yeah. They don't say anything against it, and there have been a lot of people talking about how to do that without Sony ever telling them to remove it or whatever. The buying the software specifically gives you 5 downloads, 5 copies of the game, so they're yours to do whatever you want, so you can give them away or gift them whatever you want. It is still not 100%, I will just say, but for the people that don't know, I am in negotiations with a full-time career with them, and I would be one of the team that would be porting and improving the games for commercial quality. But no, from what was suggested, I would be able to choose certain games, and I might even be porting some of them by myself, which might even lead to me being able to pick and choose whichever ones I think would be nice. But I wouldn't. I would, of course, have to make it explicitly clear that I am not going to listen to anybody when they suggest their own stuff.
So now it's time for our obligatory look at Game Maker magazines, and I think the general consensus is that Game Maker magazines have been getting better over the past few months compared to what they were like before. We've had a few new magazines. We've had GMAG recently appear, and Knickknack magazine, which wasn't very good. And of course, we've still got Overbyte magazine and GMND still with us. Joining us from Overbyte magazine is Grayson Wright.
Hello.
So Overbyte has released three issues of their magazine so far. Enjoyed all three of them. The first few issues received a bit of criticism from some people because of their jokey, light-hearted nature, which some people thought was a bit unsuitable, although I personally did enjoy it, although I did think perhaps it would get a bit boring as issues went on. But the most recent issue, the May issue, issue 3, I thought was a lot more serious. It did keep the funny bits there, but it was more typical to other Game Maker magazines that we'd seen in the past. Grayson, when's the next issue coming out?
It's scheduled to be released towards the end of this month.
Do you have any idea of what kind of content is going to be in there already?
We're going to have a very special article in there. Daniel Reamer wrote The Making of Hero Core. So
that's a game that's recently been featured at Yo-Yo Games, isn't it?
Yeah. And
so he's basically going to discuss his design choices in the making of Hero Core and what he did.
The magazine will also include a new comic by Rebecca Clare Smith.
So Grayson, why did you decide to launch the magazine?
I wanted to write for another magazine again because I used to write for GM Tech, but they apparently died or something, so me and Jack came up with an idea, kind of, to make a magazine. Well, his suggestion was to start your own magazine. So we came up with the name GM Byte, and then I think it was Andrew who came up with Overbyte, and then he made the logo for it. So, and then we didn't want it to be a too serious magazine, but we wanted it to be better than GM Indie. So then Jack decided to quit on Christmas, so we wanted to release it on the first of the year, but we couldn't do that because he decided to be an ass and quit, so.
I quite like that the magazine doesn't take itself too seriously, where we've seen other magazines come in the past, they take themselves incredibly seriously, they're not very good, whereas I think Overbyte has the quality but doesn't take itself too seriously, so people can relate to it and see it as something that's good fun. And also, because it isn't too long, I actually read the entire magazine, whereas with the longer magazines you've had in the past, generally I've just picked out a few articles and read them. Whereas with Overbyte, I can read the entire thing and enjoy it and go away feeling, oh, this was a well-produced magazine, I haven't spotted lots of mistakes, and I have actually read it all.
Yeah, you said we didn't take things too seriously. We're going to kind of make it a bit more serious, just without the stupid jokes, but we're not going to go ultra serious.
I had noticed the third issue was more serious than the other two, and I thought perhaps you'd launch it with a silly little gimmick, and then as it becomes obvious that the magazine's going to stay around, become more serious, so people, you know, don't get bored of it, people come back and keep reading it.
I forgot to mention that issue 4 is going to sport a new look too. So
I saw the website was recently redesigned as well.
Yeah, I've been designing that website since like the day after I released it, probably, because I didn't really like how the first website came out. And then the whole thing was finished, basically. All that needed to be done was like the administrator pages for staff and stuff. But I released it early before all that was finished was because we kept getting hit by spam bots. We had a CAPTCHA thing for guest commenting.
Yeah, the new website loop won't match the new layout in the magazine, though.
Do you have any plans to make them match, or would you rather just keep the simplicity of the website but the sort of suave new look of the magazine?
I suppose we could change the colours a bit, but it's kind of good.
Well, just make them slightly sort of closer aesthetically, but at the same time keep the functions of the two the same.
We could change the colour of the website if we needed to, but I'm not going to change the layout of it because I'm too lazy to make a new one.
Well, added to that, it doesn't really need a change. It's good enough as it is. It does its job, it doesn't need to do much, and it does what it needs to, so there's no real immediate need for a change.
We've also seen the release of a new magazine, which has released 2 issues in 2 weeks, which is G-Mag. I thought it was good compared to the normal launch issues of magazines. It looked like it had been proofread, at least, unlike previous issues of GM Indie. But I think the 2-week release schedule is too ambitious. I'm not sure how long that will last.
Well, the issues aren't that long, really, and a lot of the content is based on news. He's not coming up with many original articles, so he might be able to do it.
I know that he's been a fairly regular sort of writer of his own website. He does add reviews to that quite regularly, so he seems sort of a self-motivational kind of person.
Yeah, I think if he gets enough positive feedback, he'll keep doing it, and the experience with the website will help.
Yeah, so I personally think the website helps, as most people, I imagine, just come up, hey, let's make a magazine, they start it, and it's not very good because they haven't got a clue what they're writing about, whereas the creator of this one, if I try and pronounce the username, I'll fail miserably, Grebiorama.
Yeah, Grebiorama. I've never pronounced it Grebiorama.
I'd pronounce it Grabiorama.
Yeah, I'm in the grab category. Does anyone want to talk about GM Indie?
Well, I thought that one of their issues was actually fairly adequate.
When they reviewed your game?
I can't remember, actually. It might have been. I can't remember. I think it was the previous episode, not the sort of newest one, which is out, the one before it. But I did actually write a review on my blog about it, and I was kind of impressed by the fact they'd made some progress. And that just completely dissipated away when their next issue came out, which is currently their latest one, and they'd have done absolutely nothing to it. They'd kept all the word art titles, which Frederick claimed was okay, because Microsoft, of course, would not allow anything unprofessional to appear in any of their programs. Right. And that did just make me laugh quite a lot.
Haven't they gone through, like, 3 editors? Like, they keep, like they have an editor for an issue. And then they get mad at the editor, and then they, like, have a yelling match, and then fire him. I can't wait to see their GM Indie TV. I'm not going to throw rocks about their TV show, because I'm in a glass house right now, but... Yeah, how many times has GM Indie said this is their last issue?
About 6.
I think the last issue was meant to be the last issue, and now this issue is meant to be their last issue, and they're going to launch a new magazine. Before their new magazine was going to focus on C++ or something, but now I'm not sure what the new magazine is. It's meant to be smaller and more regular or something like that. I can't remember, because they're working on their ebook.
Hey, speaking of their ebook, have any of you guys seen the little trailer? It was on GMB a while ago.
Oh, what, that absolutely dire thing.
I was laughing pretty hard at it. I'm like, you all need to get a better screen recorder. And Frederick leaves, like, one of his O_O comments.
Yeah.
Asking, like, the screen recorder, or, like, the website advertisement, or breakup, and someone's like, facepalm.
It's worthy of a double facepalm.
I love people that make expensive ebooks that have hideous covers and horrible content, because it's so fun to laugh at. Who would pay for that kind of, well, I'm not going to say it on air. Game Maker books aren't really worth investing time and money into, because there's only so many people that are going to read it. It's only going to be relevant for so long, and then there's going to be a new version of Game Maker out, your book's out of date. Who's going to pay to read your book, really? A bunch of 12-year-olds?
I don't think going out of date is really a problem, because most of the concepts they include will be the same in different versions. There's just a few function changes between each one. Because there's 2 Game Maker books in development that I know of. There's Jacob Hapgood's The Game Maker's Companion, which was supposed to be out in April, and I think now is due for release in August. And there's also...
Oh, right, the intermediate...
Yeah, it's the follow-on to Mark Overmars and Jacob's book, The Game Maker Apprentice. So that's probably going to be very good. The last book was very good. It was beautifully illustrated, lots of great resources with the thing. So I think that's probably going to be a very successful book. It's meant to be focusing on platform games, although this is all just from memory. You can actually access, apparently, some of the chapters online now. There hasn't been an official announcement. You have to buy them, though. That hasn't been an official announcement of it. But you can...
Has there been any progress updates on it in a while? Because I haven't... I don't think I've seen anything on it this year.
I haven't seen any, although I think something like 7 chapters are now online. If you buy the ebook, you can get the first 7 chapters now.
Oh, so you get it progressively.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I think that is a good idea, yes, but the price they want, I can't remember what it is, it's something like £25 for the ebook, so...
Ebook?
Yeah.
Why would you pay £25 for an ebook?
Well, it's in dollars and it's converted. I can't remember what the exact price is, but it was quite expensive. So.
Around that.
As well as the Game Maker's Companion, I know there is another book being written because someone has been in touch with me from the publishers, but the book is in the very early stages.
And what about that one that was released a few months back that was terrible?
I mean, it wasn't very good, but. It did sell quite a few copies, I'm sad to say. Maybe I shouldn't have covered it on the blog. Because...
Do you know how many it sold-ish?
I don't have the sales figures, but I have the click-throughs from my Amazon affiliate links and how many people bought it from that, which was at least 3 last time I checked. 3 people who'd read about the book on Game Maker blog where I'd given it a not very good review and had clicked through it and had bought it. But, I mean, some of those people may have been people who were searching for the book. If for some reason, unknown reason, they knew it existed or wanted to get a Game Maker book, typed in Game Maker book and then came through and then just said, oh, I'll buy this. Mike Daly has a personal blog on which he sometimes writes things related to Yo-Yo Games. One of his recent articles was something about some of the entries into the competition, and he gave his personal opinions on some of the games that weren't included as winners or honourable mentions. It was something about Andrew's game. It's quite interesting blog, I think. I'm just trying to load it up here.
Russell has one similar, doesn't he? I'm pretty sure he does.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure of what that Russell's is off the top of my head. On Mike Daly's blog, he's written about the competition entries. He's written about textures in Game Maker. He's written about Game Maker on Nintendo DSi. He's posted about his job at Yo-Yo. And also from the comments that Mike and Russell have left on the Yo-Yo Games blog, it does sound like they're going to start posting more regularly their updates, like perhaps coding suggestions and things like that, things that would actually make the blog useful rather than a post every few months saying we've done this or we've done that and then forgotten about for another 6 weeks.
The only reason they update the blog is that the RSS feed on the front page doesn't get too out of date.
Future of Yo-Yo Games. Somehow we recently heard that Yo-Yo Games have developed an app store type thing in which Game Maker games can be sold. This would plug into the Yo-Yo Games website and people would be able to buy and sell commercial Game Maker games.
Yeah.
Apparently it's...
Commercial Game Maker games...
They're going to have to be new games and they're going to have to be good games or else why would anyone buy them?
Well, I think that's the same as talking about Game Maker games on the PSP, only the good games are going to get there, so the commercial games, only the good games would get in there as well.
Well, it's just like the little Game Maker game marketplaces, like, there was so many. There was James Rhodes one, and...
Which failed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is, a game, so they should be able to get...
2 things. They certainly have in their favour is the traffic and the community. However, I wouldn't have thought people on Yo-Yo Games would be the people that... I wouldn't have thought the community of people on Yo-Yo Games would be the right kind of people to buy the games, and developers would probably find it cheaper and easier, maybe, just to sell the game themselves. But I suppose it does expose it to a larger audience.
Yeah, that's the main thing, the traffic. There might be loads of people that don't want to buy it, but there's going to be some because of the large amounts of traffic. Needed.
Have they said anything about the App Store stocking PC games as well?
I think what they intended... What they intended to do, what they were discussing, was App Store for the Yo-Yo Games website for PC games, and obviously they'd have it on the PlayStation Network or whatever it's called, where or the Android Marketplace or whatever to distribute the games.
That sounds fairly intriguing. Just have to see how it goes, I suppose.
It's not live, though, is it? We need to see something live. Although I think with the appointment of Russell and Mike, it does appear that things are actually happening now. They're keeping us informed, so. actually believe what they say now, whereas before I...
Well, as I mentioned on MSN, that Russell and Mike seem to be sort of more on the ball with their timing. Like, when I was getting interviewed by Russell and Mike, they gave me the time of 11:30 in the morning, and I think they rang me at 11:32. So...
I'm glad the Spotlight games finally got changed as well, because the old Spotlight games have been there for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. There is nothing wrong with them being there for a very long time.
Well, not when Madness is in there, but... I thought it made the site look quite stale, having the same game there for so long.
Yeah, quite a few people begged me to change that screenshot. And I just went, can't be live with it. Yeah, they've just been changed to the three winners, and it looks like the runners-up as well. Which does actually look depressing, because half the runners-up look a bit sub-average.
It's understandable that those would be the games they promote, though.
I've noticed that quite a few of the sort of games that got in runner-up or first place have already got, like, the PSP controls or whatever embedded into the games.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the thing that you've got to do. Suck up.
I did notice that on 2D Cube's game, it's like press X.
Yeah, and if you look at the first screenshot of what's it called, Flash 5, it's actually got it with a PSP. Awesome Getaway, which is Cannibal inferior. Switch is basically, I hate to say, innocuous ripoff. It's a gravity platformer, which is an oversaturated market now.
I could have mentioned the Modern Warfare 2D game.
What, and how you can basically whore hits if you name your game after a popular commercial one?
Yeah.
Which does continuously make me tempted to make a game which is like called Mario, Zelda, Grand Theft Auto, Lemmings, Call of Duty crap. I'll probably put porn on the end just to be kind of... And just see if that game got about several thousand hits in a few days.
No, you have to do, like, Call of Duty 6 preview. This is a Call of Duty 6 preview that they have.
Let's call it Modern Warfare 3.
Make it sound like you're, like, an insider and you got to try out this exclusive beta, and so you uploaded it to Yo-Yo Games. And
oh, yeah.
I bet you will get billions of hits. I love the people that tag their games with stuff like fun.
Yeah, awesome. with the first D missing.
Yeah.
AWSOME.
Josh, have you got any plans for GM Vision, GM Live, or anything in the future?
Well, we've actually got an interview coming up next week. We decided to hold it a week or so because of Competition 06. I'm interviewing Sakoda, or Goada, or something like that. He's the leader of Team Skyfire, the people that produced the, Stasis game? The shooter platform on the GMC. It's actually really, really nice. Andrew, you need to do a review of it. The interview video files from the person, I just have to film my end, then splice it all together and upload, so you can expect another minisode soon. We're working on episode 3.
What are you doing? And do an interview with Sandy.
We were supposed to, but then he ran off and did one with GM Indy. I've been like back and forth since October. And he said, "Oh well, how about we wait till the new year? We've got nothing going on. Release a Game Maker. Well, it's a little busy. We're dealing with help desk stuff. A couple weeks. Then GM Indy comes and like in 7 days they got him to come on like in under a week."
You've been listening to Game Maker Talk, Podcast 3. I'd like to thank Phil Gamble, Joshua Pedroza, myself, Andrew McCluskey, Jack Broccoli, and Grayson Wright for their contributions to this podcast.
You can hear from us again in about another month's time when we release the next episode of GM Talk. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at Game Maker Blog for the latest Game Maker news and to keep up to date with the podcast. Thank you for listening.